Our scripture lesson today comes from Psalm chapter 1. I invite you to find your Bible close at hand and open and read along as we forge in to the book of Psalms. Listen now for the word of God for each of us today. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us hear God's word again, this time from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy in the 6th chapter and reading at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And then in the New Testament, in Matthew's Gospel, reading from the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Happy are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Happy are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This too, my friends, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we bow before you. We believe the words of our Lord Jesus, who said that we cannot live by bread alone, but only by every word that comes from your mouth. So through this scripture that has been read and the word that is now proclaimed, through the hymns that we sing and the prayers that we pray, speak to us, that we might know the life that comes from your word this day and always through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In our sermons throughout the summer, we're going to be looking at some of the poems and hymns of God's ancient people, Israel. We begin our series today. We're going to be looking at these poems and hymns as they're recorded for us in the biblical book of the Psalms. These poems and hymns express a whole range of human emotions, as well as numerous insights and thoughts about God and about our relationship with God. Some of them are joyful and they are upbeat. Some of them are sad and they are angry. Some of them are filled with faith. Some of these thoughts are filled with doubt, and many are filled with a mixture of faith and doubt, even within the one psalm. Some of the psalms are indescribably beautiful, and some of the psalms contain language in which the thoughts are truly ugly, though at the same time, they are very much human. Some of the Psalms speak about God as creator, the God who is passionate about the whole of the created universe. Some speak about God as the Redeemer, passionate about individuals like you and me, and very much at work within our lives. And this is where the very first psalm fits in, the psalm that we read just a moment ago, Psalm 1. It's a song about God's desire for our personal happiness, for your happiness and for my happiness. And it's a psalm about the way that we get that happiness. But let's think about happiness to begin with before we think about getting it and how we get it. This business of happiness, do you believe this? Do you actually believe this, that God wants your happiness, that God is passionate about your happiness? For many people, it may come as rather a surprise to hear that the word happy actually occurs over 50 times in the New Testament and almost 20 times in the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. Almost 20 times in the book of Psalms. For example, in the Psalms, we read this in Psalm 32, happy are those whose sin is forgiven. In Psalm 84, happy are those who live in God's house, ever singing God's praise. In Psalm 33, happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. 41, happy are those who consider the poor. 106, happy are those who observe justice at all times. Psalm 2, happy are all who take refuge in God. Psalm 40, happy are those who make the Lord their trust. Psalm 84, happy are those whose strength is in God. Psalm 146, happy are those whose hope is in the Lord. 94, happy are those whom God disciplines. 112, happy are those who fear the Lord. Happy are those who greatly delight in his commandments. Psalm 89, happy are those who walk in the light of God's presence. And 119, happy are those who seek God with all their heart. So this is a constant theme throughout the book of Psalms. And it's one that's repeated by our Lord Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount, in the passage that I just read for you. The word happy is rarely read when we read the Sermon on the Mount, but it's there. We tend to replace it by the more religious-sounding blessed. But literally, the word in Greek in which Matthew's Gospel is written is happy, makarios. It is happy. Happy are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who are merciful, and so forth. Happy are the peacemakers. That's what's said. And this change for me is a little bit unfortunate that we move to blessedness. Well, we are blessed. There's no question about that. But it's unfortunate because it hides the fact that this is a theme that goes throughout the Bible and is there in the Psalms. And Jesus is picking up on what is said in the Psalms, where, for whatever reason, translators have always translated this word as happy. God wants us to know this happiness, not just a sense of holy blessedness, though God does want that for us, but at times I think that sounds rather bland or rather pale. No. God wants us to remember the words, rejoice and be glad. God wants our actual happiness. Now, to be sure, I think there are some reasons why the translators may not have translated in most accounts of translations that we have in the Gospel of Matthew the word as happy. They want to avoid something. They don't want us to think that this happiness is too giddy, too light, too ephemeral, too passing, a momentary sort of emotion that we have. And I think that's legitimate. When we look at happiness in the Bible, it certainly is not a giddy, light, ephemeral, or passing momentary emotion. Indeed, there are times in which the Bible calls us to not be happy and be happy at the same time. Happy in a more profound sense at times when we are actually grieving, when we are mourning, especially over injustices in this world. Listen to what is said in the prophet Amos in the 5th and 6th chapters. Amos writes like this, God is speaking through him and says, I hate your religious festivals. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Alas, he goes on to say, for those who are at ease in Zion, alas for those who lie on beds of ivory and eat lambs from the flock, who drink wine from the bowls and anoint themselves with the finest of oils, but are not grieved over the moral ruin of the people of Israel, God's own people. There are some things, in other words, that we should not be happy about, some things, in fact, that should make us upset and should at times make us angry. And I hope that in recent weeks you've experienced some of this kind of righteous anger that God wants us to have. Put yourself in the position of a parent of a child shot while jogging. Now name your child. Can you stay happy at that moment when you name your child? Or think of yourself as a child of a parent who is held down for 8 minutes until that parent dies. Put your parent's name. Put your parent's name on that face. Can you be happy at that moment? No. No, this biblical happiness in both Jesus and the Psalms is not meant to be unreal, oblivious to the injustices of life. It's not meant to be giddy to the horrors and the wrongs around about us. But for all that, it's there. The message of Jesus and the Psalms is clear. God does not want us to go about living our lives in fear and misery, but seeks our happiness and calls us, surely, to seek the happiness of others as well. What we find in our own National Declaration of Independence, the pursuit of happiness is a legitimate biblical admonition, not just as it applies to us, as if I'm alone, but as it applies to all of us together. And Psalm 1 spells out the kind of happiness that's in view and gives to it some substance. Not light, but it has substance, but not so heavy that it's devoid of joy. Let me read again and paraphrase just a little bit from our Psalm, Psalm 1. Happy are those who are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. They are not like chaff that the wind drives away, but will even withstand the day of judgment, because the Lord watches over them. In other words, this picture of biblical happiness is of a life that has deep roots. Isn't this where happiness comes from? A life that has deep roots, a life that is attached to a perpetual source of life and power, a life that constantly produces fruit, never stops bearing fruit, being effective for God, a life tended by a loving and caring gardener or farmer, a life that has stability even in a storm and even on the day of judgment. Let me read to you again from Psalm 1. Happy are those who are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. They are not like chaff that the wind drives away. Indeed, it's the solidity of this life which leads to the happiness. But will even withstand the day of judgment because the Lord watches over them. Because the Lord watches over them. This kind of happiness is designed specifically, not just for good times, but for bad times. A happiness that people can have and depend upon even when life goes wrong, as it does for all of God's saints at some time or another. It did for Jesus. It will for us, or at least from our human perception point of view. One of the inspirations for my life and for my ministry is Leighton Ford. Dr. Ford is the late Billy Graham's brother-in-law, and for many years, many people thought he might be the one to take over Dr. Graham's ministry, but for whatever reason, that did not happen. I have no clue what Dr. Ford himself was thinking of at the time. All I know is that that did not happen, though many people thought it might, and that Leighton Ford struck out in another direction. He reinvented himself, as it were, as the director of the Lausanne movement, a movement working with church leaders around the world. And while he was doing this along the way, faced up to enormous grief with the death of his son, Sandy, about whom he writes. Might be a book that you want to pick up and read to stir up and to challenge your faith. Leighton Ford is now in his 80s, and his ministry and his impact is still as strong as ever, touching the lives of young leaders across the Christian church, across the world, unshaken, fruitful, faith-filled, and in terms of someone, yes, happy. That's who I want to be. Isn't that who you want to be? Isn't this the kind of happiness that all of us need? Which, of course, begs the question as to how we get it. If this happiness is there, if God is passionate that we share in it, how is it that we can, in fact, enjoy this happiness about which Psalm 1 speaks? Well, in fact, the psalm itself tells us how. In the opening verses, this is what we read. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They don't follow the advice of the wicked, take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. Here are voices that they push to the side, and then they make sure that the voice that they hear ultimately comes from the law of the Lord. I suppose if we were to translate that into our own day, it would probably be to say that with all the voices coming at us from the media, no matter what the perspective they bring, beware of making those voices the voices that determine your life. But make sure instead that it is the voice of God in the law of the Lord, which is the dominant voice that you listen to. Now, this phrase, the law of the Lord, is in fact rather misleading, especially if we think of it in terms of just following the rules and regulations that God sets before us. In Hebrew, the word there is the word Torah, which means not just rules and regulations, but in fact, all the stories of Scripture are included in this phrase, the law of the Lord. And most of Scripture is about stories. Stories, as well as the laws that God gives to us, are included in this, so that for the psalmist, the law of the Lord for him would have included at his time the five books of our Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then with the time passing by, the law of the Lord expands. The Old Testament is formed, and then our New Testament is formed. And for us, the Torah is the whole of the Bible, filtered through the lens of Jesus' own life and his own teaching at the core of it for us as Christians. Within this teaching of Jesus, of course, Jesus himself speaks about the law of the Lord. Do you know what he says about the Scripture, about what God has said? This is what he says in Matthew chapter 5. Not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all it is accomplished. He believed it profoundly to be God's word. John chapter 10, Scripture cannot be broken. Luke chapter 11 says Jesus, blessed are those, happy, who hear the word of God and keep it. Who hear the word of God and keep it. And then in Matthew 4, perhaps the most famous teaching of Jesus on God speaking to us and our listening. No one lives by bread alone, but only by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In fact, I'm convinced that Jesus had Psalm 1 in his mind and in his heart when he actually comes to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So the Beatitudes are in Matthew 5, the end is in Matthew 7, and Jesus changes the image that is there from a tree to a building. But otherwise, he shares exactly the same message as Psalm 1. So he says of his own teaching, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise person who built his house on a rock. The rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. Doesn't matter how bad it gets, but it did not fall because it had been founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish person who built his house on sand. Rain fell, floods came, winds blew, beat against that house, and it fell. And great, says Jesus, was the fall. Delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. It's up to us, really, this whole business of happiness. It involves a very simple question. Who are we listening to above all else? What voices dominate the information that fills our minds and then our hearts and then our limbs? And are we taking the time that's needed to make sure that we're listening to the right voice, to God's voice? In this case, to pick up the book and read the book day by day, week by week, year by year, so that this voice becomes a part and parcel of our inner conversation that we call prayer. And prayer is not just about set times with God. It's an ongoing conversation in which we're speaking to God and God is guiding us. And in this relationship, that's ultimately where our happiness lies. But do you believe this? Do you believe it? That God wants your happiness. Not just your blessedness, though God does want that, but your happiness, that God wants you to rejoice and be glad. If you do, the prescription is there in the very first psalm. The great physician tells us, pick up the book and read. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God revealed to us in Jesus and in Holy Scripture. And on his law, they meditate day and night. Let us pray. Holy God, come to us by the power of your Spirit. Give us the will to pick up the book and read, to talk over your word with others, to talk over your word with you, so that this conversation becomes an integral part of our lives. So may we find the happiness, yes, indeed the blessedness, but the rejoicing and the gladness of which our Lord Jesus speaks, that you long for each of us and that empowers us to deal with the problems of life, including the injustices of life that abound around us. Give us strength to serve you in this way. Through Christ we pray. Amen.